In the readings today, we hear many things that are spoken about our Lord, and you notice that they are all these kinds of vague sorts of things, that he is the Word, that he is light, that all these kinds of things. What you have to do is ask yourself a couple of simple questions. If you were going to say that God came into the world, other than saying it that way, if you're going to describe God, how are you going to do that? What words are you going to use? Well, that's exactly the problem that the evangelist had. How are you going to be able to say that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity became one of us? And so they use these terms like the Word and the light and the truth and the charity and things like that to describe God, because that's who God is. He's beyond any description that we can put upon him. And so that's why we have those kinds of terms. And what is important in recognizing that is that what we're dealing with is something, someone beyond description, who has now come within our grasp. Fascinating point to think about, because when St. John in the Gospel reading says that the light came into the darkness and the darkness was not able to grasp it, but the light became human and humanity is able to grasp him. He who is infinitely beyond our ability to grasp. We can't even describe him except in these vague terms. And now he has become one of us. He has come in a way that we can see, that we can touch, that we can understand, at least to the degree that we can. And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't even understand our own self. Those of you who are married know fully well, you don't understand your spouse very well. If you have teenage kids, you don't understand them at all. So if that's the case, then how are we going to describe this little baby? Well, to the best of our ability, at least we can grasp his humanity. And so when we look at the two readings that the church has given to us, the first reading is demonstrating very clearly the divinity of Christ, showing us that he is higher than the angels. To which of the angels did God ever say, St. Paul says, showing that what God spoke about his son is talking about being on the throne and coming into the world, and I'm a father to him and he's a son to me. But to the angels, on the other hand, he speaks different ways. So it's to demonstrate the divinity of Christ. Because otherwise, on a day like this, it would be easy to look at a baby that is born. And granted, obviously, he's born in rather extraordinary circumstances because of the situation. He's in Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. Therefore, he's born out in the stable, and he's laid in a manger, which is the feeding trough. He's born in a town that means the house of bread. And he's laid in a feeding trough. It tells us what he's about. And we could look at all those things just on the natural level and totally miss who this is. But if we look a little further, we have to understand that those who came to see him didn't miss who he was. The shepherds came to see this extraordinary event, and they left praising God. Now, all of us, if we went down to the newborn wing down at the hospital, yeah, we could all praise God for the babies that are there. Babies are the coolest thing ever, and we could all praise God because of the babies. That's not what the shepherds were doing. They were praising God because of what they saw, and ultimately who they saw, because they heard what the angels had told them, that the Messiah was born to them. And the Messiah was not just simply a human being, but the Messiah was not just simply God either. Because in order, as St. Paul pointed out, to remove our sins, that's the reason that he came. A mere human being couldn't do that, because our sins have infinite consequences against God. And at the same time, God couldn't just come into our world as God to take them away, because justice required that human beings who sinned would have to make up for those sins. But we can't, because we don't have the ability to make up for something that has infinite consequences. So only God can take them away, but it required also someone who was human. And that's exactly what we see. We recognize the same thing when we look forward a couple of weeks to the Feast of the Epiphany. And the three magi come, and they're looking simply for a king. That's why they went initially to Herod. That's why they went to Jerusalem. Where's the newborn king of the Jews? And when they found him, we are told very, very clearly that they prostrated themselves. You don't prostrate yourself before a king. You might bow before a king or give whatever reverence some king requires, but you don't ever hear of anybody prostrating themselves. And then it goes further. And it says they worshiped him. You don't worship a king. You worship God. So again, they saw a human baby. But they recognized something far, far greater. Now, the baby wasn't glowing in the dark. The baby wasn't doing all kinds of extraordinary things. And so we have to understand that it was by a grace of God that they recognized who this baby was. Because there was no way on the natural level they could have done that. The shepherds, yeah, they heard from the angels who this was. The magi, they hadn't heard anything. And yet that grace was given to them to be able to recognize him, to prostrate themselves before him, and to worship him. Now that becomes very important for us, not only to recognize that he is truly God and that he is truly man, but it's also to recognize the grace that has been given to you, for you to recognize this. Again, you've been taught it, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to believe it. I think about that Jewish professor who taught a course in college on Catholicism. And he taught it so beautifully that he was responsible over the years for over hundreds of converts to Catholicism. And they asked him one day, "So why haven't you ever become Catholic?" He said, "Because I don't believe it." So he knew what the truth was. He taught it to his students, and he taught it so beautifully that they became Catholic. And he didn't believe. So just the fact that someone has taught this to you isn't going to be sufficient. You have to understand that there is a grace at work, a gift from God to you to be able to believe, to be able to say, "I accept that that little baby is God, that he is the second person of the Trinity, that he is infinite and he has come down to us in a way that we can grasp to the ability that we can who he is." And what we're celebrating today is exactly that love of God, that immense humility of God. And as extraordinary as that is, it gets even more extraordinary when we hear in the gospel reading, and St. John says that to those who received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. So this is the Son of God who became one of us. And then he gave to us the grace to become sons and daughters of God, to be elevated to a supernatural level. It's one thing to be able to recognize the humility of God who descended to our level, but now St. John is telling us if we are willing to receive him, he raises us up to a supernatural level so that we can become the children of God. And so you see what's happening here in this beautiful gift that God has given to us of his Son. It is the reversal of everything. If we look at him, we can say, he who is infinite became finite. He who is eternal came into time. He who is invisible became visible. He who dwells in light inaccessible came into our darkness. He who is God became man. And then what's the reverse? We who are sinful have our sins taken away. We who are human become divine. We who operate on a natural level now have been raised to a supernatural level. We who are of time can now enter into eternity. We who have been freed from the darkness have been brought into the kingdom of light. And we look forward to the day that we will be able to dwell in light inaccessible with the Lord. But in the meantime, what we have to recognize is that God, one could say, is impatient about that, but that's not really what it is. It's a matter that God loves you so much that he's not willing just to wait for that. He's not willing just to sit back and say, look, you guys, if you die in the state of grace, if you live a good life, if you try to be holy, you can come to be with me for eternity. I'll make you my children. I will bring you into eternal life. I will bring you into light inaccessible. I will do all of these things for you. And he will. And he could have just simply done that. But that's not what he would do. Because if he did just that, heaven would simply be a reward. But ask yourself what heaven is going to be. It's pure love. Love is not a reward. Love is a gift. And therefore, God, who is love itself, is not willing to sit back and allow us to think that somehow we can earn this on our own, that we can be rewarded for something. Instead, because he loves us so much, he made the first move, and he became one of us. So he came to us first so that we can go to him. He gives himself to us so that we can give ourselves to him. Now again, you ask yourself, in the nature of love, what is required? Love is giving and receiving. What did we hear St. John say to those who receive him? He is giving himself as a gift. If we are willing to receive that gift, we are going to be transformed. But love is a two-way street, so it's not just receiving, it is also giving. And so we want to give ourselves to him as he gives himself to us. And he will receive that gift because he is love. And while we cannot give ourselves in an absolutely perfect sense as he does to us, nonetheless, we can give ourselves in a relatively perfect sense. That is, as perfectly as we're able to do, we can give ourselves to him. And as we continue to try to receive more and therefore to give more, we are able to give more and more perfectly. And that transforms us into Christ, into the mystery that we're celebrating today. So it is such a beautiful thing to think of the humility and the charity of God, the love of God. Isn't that what a baby is? Love. And so when we look at it and say, when a husband and a wife can express that love and it becomes life in a child, that child is the bodily and flesh, tangible love of those parents. They can look at that baby and they can see their love for their spouse and their spouse's love for them. And while it is absolutely true that that's what our Blessed Lady could say too, as she literally looked upon the face of God on that little baby, he didn't become one of us just for her. In fact, he created her in such a way that he could become one of us for us. So in other words, if you can love God as much as you can, and you can receive him as much as you can, then you too can look on the face of that beautiful little child, and in that face you will see the love that God has for you and the love that you have for God. That is what we're celebrating. Not merely an event that happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, absolutely, we're celebrating that. But it's an event that continues to happen. And it's happening inside of you and me right now. That's why we continually are reminded of this. That's why we genuflect when we talk about the incarnation. Because of the love of God and the humility of God, and the fact that that is happening in our souls right now. So as mysterious and beautiful and glorious as those events 2,000 years ago were, it becomes even more glorious and more mysterious when you recognize that it's happening inside of you today. And not just for one day out of the year, every day. Because God loves you that much. And if you want to have a greater transformation, love him. Love him more. Be more and more conformed to Christ. And then every time you look at him, you are going to see even more love. And you'll never come to the end because he's infinite. True, the face you're looking at is a human face, but the person is infinite. And so you can love him more and more and more every single day, and there will still be infinitely more. That's what he's inviting you to. Again, think about what happened 2,000 years ago when the shepherds came, when the Magi came. Our Lady didn't take our Lord and clutch him to her heart and say, he's mine. No, she held them out. She held him out to those shepherds. She held him out to the Magi because he came for them, not just for her. Yes, he came for her too. He came for them. He came for you and me. That's what we're celebrating. All of the events of our redemption, the passion, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, none of that could have happened if he had not become incarnate. So everything is dependent on what we celebrate today. And while that, all those other things might scare us or might keep us at a distance, a baby does not. He invites us. And then we recognize it is the same person with the same love who was laid in that manger, who gives himself to us in Holy Communion. It is the same person with the same love that's on the cross. It is the same person with the same love now who is in heaven, inviting us, just as he invites himself, us to himself as that little baby. He now invites us to himself in the glory of eternity. That's that beautiful exchange. That's that reversal I was talking about. That's what he desires for you. He's not patient enough, if you will. No, that's the wrong word. He loves you too much to wait for you. He loves you too much just to hold that out and say, this is a possibility for you. Because he is absolutely in love with you, he has come to be with you until you can go to be with him. That is Emmanuel, God with us. That's who we are celebrating today. So thanks be to God for our beautiful Blessed Mother, who was willing to say yes to a mystery that was beyond her capability. But she believed when the angel said, for God all things are possible. So we look into our own hearts. We recognize that what we're talking about here is impossible. God's going to dwell in me. God's going to raise me up to a supernatural level. God's going to make me his son or daughter. It's impossible. For us, it is. All things are possible for God. So let's have the faith and the charity, like our Blessed Lady, to say, be it done unto me according to your word. Open your heart to receive him. And in receiving him, you become the son or daughter of God. And as the son or the daughter of God, he has given you the power, not only to be the children of God, but therefore to act as God acts, just to love as God loves. There in the manger, love itself, love himself. There in your heart is love himself. Receive him there, be transformed, and love him, so that the mystery that we celebrate today, the birth of our Blessed Lord, is going to continue every day in you, as you bring the incarnation of Christ out into the world, and let his light, his truth, his glory, shine through you.